The Union of Concerned Scientists has published a new report that presents a stark choice about substantive action to reduce greenhouse gases or watching temperatures rising to potentially dangerous levels. The group's Megan Hassett and Illinois State University Geology Professor Catherine O'Reilly are two of the presenters at a climate change conversation called It's Getting Hot in Here, tomorrow night at First United Methodist Church in Normal. Hassett tells WGLT's Eric Stock the group's study breaks down temperature change projections for each county in the country.
The extreme heat that we've been seeing is definitely on the rise, and it's on track to get a whole lot hotter right in our lifetimes. We analyzed a couple different scenarios based on levels of global emissions. So what we actually found was that if we take no action to reduce global emissions, right here in McLean County, we'll see going from 6 days of experiencing 100 degrees Fahrenheit of heat index days, going from 6 to 67 by the end of the century on average. And then we'll actually be seeing for days where it's a heat index of 105 degrees Fahrenheit or more, going from 3 days historically to 49. We'll also be seeing off the charts days. The National Weather Service can't even calculate accurately right now. But if we do take rapid action, we'll still be seeing a large increase. But if we limit global warming emissions and the global temperature increase to 2 degrees Celsius from pre-industrial levels, we'll see instead more like 17 days of a heat index over 105 degrees Fahrenheit, 31 days with a heat index of 100 degrees Fahrenheit or higher. So still a big increase, but less than half of what we would see otherwise.
How do those trends compare with what we've seen over the last 30 to 50 years in reverse? In other words, is this an increase in temperature acceleration that much more than what we've seen up to this point?
That's a great question. Our study did not really look at how the trends have changed over the last couple decades. It took more of a historical average of the last 35 years or so, looking at and set that as sort of a baseline of historical experiences, and then looked really using climate models to analyze what would happen from here on out.
So, Catherine O'Reilly, how does this fit in with the historical trends from what you've studied?
Yeah, so what we know about extreme heat events is that they were really pretty rare 50 years ago. There'd be occasional ones, but they wouldn't be very common. And so as things seem to have gotten warmer, for example, July 2019 is the hottest month on Earth ever that we've recorded, scientists have compared these recent heat waves and tried to see how much more, are they happening more frequently now than they used to. And for example, in Europe, the recent heat waves the past few years in 2017 and in 2019, those are 10 to 100 times more likely now than they were in the early 1900s. So there's a lot of evidence that these high, warm, really extreme warm events are happening 10 times or even more than 10 times more frequently than they used to.
And going back to central Illinois, for an area that is so heavily dependent on agriculture, weather, of course, is critical. And farmers have been dealing with weather extremes with increasing regularity. What might this mean for them?
I think it's going to be very challenging for our agricultural sector to start thinking about how to adapt to climate change. The kinds of changes we've seen this year with the extreme wet spring, that's exactly what we're projected and predicted to get more of and see more common. And this particular year, it really had major impacts on when planting could occur, and everything got really far behind. And then, if you're crop planting is late, you really need ideal conditions moving forward to get that crop to mature in time. And then, of course, we've had some really, even in Illinois this summer, we've had some really warm days, and that stresses the crops and means that your production's not going to be as good.
Other populations more impacted than others when it comes to heat are children and the elderly. Also, those without air conditioning, how much of an impact will this have as the trend continues in this direction?
Well, we're definitely going to see increases in heat-related deaths. Already, heat is one of the major contributors to natural causes of death associated with weather. So this is going to be affecting primarily the young children and the elderly, who are just much more susceptible to heat and less able to sort of regulate their physiological responses. And then the other sort of group that's going to be really affected are people who work outside. And so this is really a wide range of people who might be from construction workers to agriculture. And all of these people are going to be much more susceptible to the problems that being exposed to high heat causes.
And as we continue on Sound Ideas, I'm Eric Stock with Catherine O'Reilly, geology professor at Illinois State University, and Megan Hassett, Midwest Campaign Coordinator for the Climate and Energy Program with the Union of Concerned Scientists, two of those who will be among the presenters at a public discussion on Thursday entitled It's Getting Hot in Here, from 6 to 8 p.m. at First United Methodist Church in Normal. And let's get into the why, Megan. We know this, of course, is caused by greenhouse gases trapping the heat. What are we doing that is exacerbating the problem most in order of priority?
Sure. So generally speaking, our use of fossil fuels is the main emitter of carbon and global warming emissions that has been accelerating this problem of heat trapping emissions in our atmosphere, driving this extreme heat increases. And we know that there's a couple big sectors where this is coming from. One of the biggest right now is transportation, as well as our electric power sector, sort of our grid where we get our lights and sometimes our heat from. And then there's heating as well. But transportation and energy and electricity are definitely the biggest places where we have an opportunity to reduce emissions very quickly and hopefully achieve that best case scenario where we see a limited increase in these extreme heat occurrences.
And green advocates are pushing for the Clean Energy Jobs Act in Illinois. This will be part of the discussion on Thursday. Citizens Utility Board is one of the groups that has been advocating for this measure. Catherine, how would this help sort of stem the tide of climate change?
Well, we really have two options in front of us. We can adapt to the changes that we're seeing, and that's sort of planning for the inevitable, like in this case, making sure that there's good access to cool spaces for people in the summer. Education about the symptoms and how to manage working in high heat conditions. And then the other option is mitigation. And for that, those are doing things, changing how we live in ways that reduce how much greenhouse gases we put into the atmosphere, or removing greenhouse gases from the atmosphere so that we reduce the amount of warming that's occurring.
And from what I understand, the proposal would also implement market reforms to electricity, a measure that is intended to lower power bills?
Yes. So this bill would be putting Illinois in a path to 100% renewable electricity by 2050. So that includes big investments into renewable sources like wind and solar. And this also would lower electricity bills because we've been seeing with these programs like Solar for All and energy efficiency programs, we can pass on cost savings to consumers from shifting away from fossil fuels, as long as we're making sure that it's equitable and that all communities can really access those benefits.
The Illinois Chamber of Commerce has weighed in on this, as I imagine you might have heard. They're disputing claims that it would lead to lower energy costs, and they call it, quote, fear-mongering, an attempt to scare legislators and the public into making rash decisions about their energy consumption. How do you respond to that?
Sure. So I think something like this extreme heat report that Union of Concerned Scientists put out really underscores the urgency for action to rapidly reduce emissions. And we simply, you know, as Catherine said, we definitely need resilience and we need to protect those who are most at risk from these extreme heat and other kinds of impacts. But we also need to make sure that we're doing as much as we can, as fast as we can, to preserve a recognizable future for our children. So that means doing things and using technologies that we already have here and now, tapping into the falling costs of wind and solar compared to the increasing inefficiencies of relying on coal power. We've already seen that those who are, you know, getting power from coal are actually shutting those plants down because they're simply uneconomic. So those trends will continue, and I think it's really time to reinvest in communities, reinvest in wind and solar, and I think that way we can actually tap into those falling costs.
And there's really no reason not to, right? I mean, if we were to do something like that and it turned out that it didn't work for some reason, we have a fallback plan. We could just go back to what we're doing right now.
As we continue on Sound Ideas with Catherine O'Reilly and Meghan Hassett, two of the presenters at an upcoming discussion in Normal called It's Getting Hot in Here at First United Methodist Church. Catherine, you can give me an overview of who all will be presenting at this event?
Sure. So, yeah, this event happening right at the First United Methodist Church, we'll have a number of speakers. We've been working with the Illinois Clean Jobs Coalition to put together these events all across the state. And here in Normal, we'll be talking with myself and Professor O'Reilly. We'll also be hearing from Kate York with Citizens Utility Board. We'll be hearing from Amanda Panka with Prairie Rivers Network, as well as Reverend Pierce. And it'll be a great community discussion starting around 6:30 with a reception at 6 p.m.
There seems to be greater consensus about recognizing the realities of climate change, not just in the scientific community, of course, but the public at large. But it seems when you start talking about it as an imminent danger or efforts that should be taken immediately or significantly to change our lifestyle, perhaps compulsory, then people get a little more squishy about it. How do you address that level of skepticism?
Sure. Well, I think that's exactly why we did this report, was to showcase the local impacts using really high resolution climate modeling. So we could go county by county and allow people to see what their extreme heat will look like, you know, mid-century, late century. And I think allowing folks to understand some of those near-term impacts that are right there, you know, in their county will help underscore the urgency and help people to engage.
And I think it's important, too, for us to think a little bit about human sort of behavior and memory, right? So some studies have come out recently that have shown that people adapt. We're such adaptable creatures. We adapt really well to new conditions. And so actually, it turns out our memory of what normal is really only goes back a couple of years. And so as humans, we're not very good at really remembering some of these aspects of what climate maybe really used to be like in some ways. And so to some extent, we need people, scientists, and politicians who are going to help us create the kind of infrastructure and provide the directions that are going to make the future world just as nice for our children as it is for us.
It seems that we adapt well, but we don't like to have to adapt. That's my unscientific observation. Is that accurate?
Yeah, change is hard, right? Change is always hard and change is scary. And so that is part of some of this. I think the other thing that's important to remember is to put this in a bigger picture context, and that by not reaching out, not trying some of these things, we're actually putting Americans at a bit of a disadvantage, because these approaches come with new technologies, and these technologies are being used in other countries all around the world, in Europe and in Asia. And so if we want to stay on par with what's happening and the adaptation and the green infrastructure that's being implemented in other places, we need to be willing to try a couple of things here and see how they go and give it a shot. And, you know, it'll lead to lots of long-term benefits for us, both in terms of our environment, but also in terms of our place in the technological world.
It seems as though this discussion has had very little impact in the presidential race, for example. Only a few of the candidates have discussed climate change to any degree. Does that concern you, that it's something that's not getting the kind of attention that you both feel it should have?
I think that the national conversation around climate change is still growing. I mean, we did see the recent climate town hall, where a number of candidates did speak out in support of clean energy programs. But yeah, I think this is still a growing movement. In 10 days, there's going to be a global youth climate strike. So things are definitely moving in the right direction in terms of engagement. But there's a lot more we need to be doing quickly to actually reduce emissions and get to renewable electricity much faster. And I think that's where Illinois can really step up. you know, Governor Pritzker has already supported the U.S. Climate Alliance, which would get us to the Paris Climate Agreement levels of climate change, where we're seeing much less of these extreme heat days globally. But we need to take the lead right here in Illinois and, you know, show how it can be done with increasing jobs, increasing investment in communities, and that, you know, wind and solar is not nearly as scary as an extra month of, you know, 105 degree heat.
That was Megan Hassett with the Union of Concerned Scientists and Illinois State University geology professor Catherine O'Reilly with WGLT's Eric Stock. Hassett says advocates hope the state legislature will take up the Clean Energy Jobs Act during the fall veto session. She says the bill currently lacks enough support in the Illinois House.